fields of bodies burning as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Hi, this is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news.
And I'm Dan Dugan, the other guy on the other side. WGRN, the Green Renaissance.
This is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news. 94.1 WGRN with the other guy, not my fixer. Mr.
Not
Dugan.
Your fixer. And don't forget WCRS at 92.7 and 98.3.
I'd like to first swear you in, put you under oath.
Put me under
oath? Are you now?
I might lie.
Are you now, or have you ever been a fixer?
I may have said that I was, but I may also have misspoke or lied. It depends on how you want to qualify that one.
And
of course, Trump would say I was lying when I said I was telling the truth about lying. Right.
True enough.
So
it may have been you just were involved in fixer-upper projects.
Well, there you go. A flipper fixer. A fixer-flipper. Fixer-upper. Oh, boy.
Well, right, Cohen's so sort of a flipper, years. Is he not?
He is a flipper. That's right.
And a fixer.
Right. And a fixer. There you go. He got 3 years. Sufficient sentence, Bob? I don't know myself.
Well, you know, the 3 years, 3.5 years, mm-hmm. whatever they laid on him, it was interesting because the judge went after him, and the judge is like, well, yeah, he cooperated, but only on what he wanted to cooperate on.
Right, exactly. Well, so isn't that convenient?
So it doesn't usually work that way.
Mm-hmm. I guess he was brought to tears, and his daughter was crying, and it was a very sad situation. Right, but he's now going to be telling the truth from here on out, I guess, or so he says.
Well, in hopes of not having to do three and a half years.
Yeah, I heard that, right. And we'll see what they do with Flynn. Probably not much there. But, yeah, well, expect these situations to start being resolved. The question is if, what is it? What's number one? Individual number one, we will see if he can be indicted. Do you believe that Mr. Because what they were saying about this is based just on the Cohen case alone, they should have, had Trump been a private citizen, they could indict him.
Right.
But can they, since he's the president? In your opinion, sir, as a doctor of law.
Well, I'm thinking unless it dealt directly with ongoing crimes, which I think it is involving ongoing crimes.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think it looks like part of it, and it depends on when we finally see everything that's being put together against him. But if he ended up being president because of essentially
right.
working that's directly right. with a foreign country,
with the Russian investigation.
I think right. that... Right. Because he won the presidency out of it, he could be tried for it.
So
but
what
there's
Cohen
a variety
fixed,
of scholars yeah, that are going right. to say, look, he needs to, you know, after he's the president, then he can be tried. Too disruptive to the nation.
Oh, I see. So, and especially like with Cohen and the fixing with the females, right, Stormy Daniels, et cetera.
Which
influenced
would not
be politics. Something worth going after, but the Russian situation, yes.
Now, theoretically, right. what if both of those things would have came out
mm-hmm.
during the election?
Right.
But instead, yeah. there was an illegal fix
right.
to alter the election results. Mm-hmm. So that's a question, is that what if those things had come out and not have been silenced with hush money.
Exactly.
In order to alter election results.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's right. So now we're messing with the federal election in the first place. I had also heard a rumor that they might be after Pence as well on the Russian investigation, and he might even be more easily indicted and or tried. Is that how what you believe, or
well, that that sort of story, rumor, conjecture has been around for a while.
Right.
So the question is, you know, who's leaking it? Who knows? I think, you know, he's the vice president.
Mm-hmm.
Did he know about these meetings?
Sure.
I mean, that's what ultimately we want to know. Who knew what? When?
There you go. Yep. Those old questions.
Was colluding, who was working to allow this to influence the American election.
And particularly since, you know, they've been making it better known that Trump had been attempting to do another big Trump hotel, Trump Tower or whatever, in Moscow. So he's trying to do business as well with the Russians. So all of this ties together. More will be revealed, right?
But, of course, he'll say, well, you know, there was no deal on the hotel. So what's – and I hadn't won the election then. But the question is, you know, was he acting or were the Russians attempting to influence him as a foreign agent? I mean, part of Trump's problem –
they tried to influence a lot of elections, not just America.
Yeah, part of Trump's problem, of course, is he was so pro-Russian. I mean, his foreign policy seems to be someone that was, in fact, influenced by Putin, by the Russians, or blackmailed. I mean, it's fairly irrational.
Tapes, but for the business dealings, the underhanded business.
Yeah, and the
money laundering.
Yeah, essentially, that's going to be a key question. Now, what's more interesting to me is Trump responding by suggesting that, quote, the people would revolt if he was impeached or tried criminally.
Right.
I mean, is he in fact inciting, putting that idea into
an
the air?
Yeah.
So, I mean, to me, that's real interesting. Because in the past, he's talked about how the right knows more about guns, more military experience than the left.
They have better boats, too.
Yeah, suggesting... you know, that they could, in fact, revolt. Or, and again, those of us who've been here in Ohio, I mean, the only candidate I've ever seen in the major parties, the Democratic and Republican parties, with paramilitary forces, not the National Guard, not the U.S. Army, but paramilitary forces protecting his supporters at state house rallies.
Correct.
The only time I've ever seen AR-15s and other weapons, usually held only by the military, on the grounds of the state house. And people dressed in camouflage at Trump rallies.
Yep.
So he's always had this hint.
Arm.
And of course, the little more than a hint, when he talked about Charlottesville, good people on both sides. Mm-hmm. On the one side, you got those that are opposed to hate and the Holocaust. On the other side, you've got heavily armed racists who believe in genocide. So I think part of that is the same thing that actually the Bush family, Prescott Bush, did when he helped fund the Nazis in the 1920, after the 1928 election, into 33. And that was that they were an attack dog against the communists.
Right.
Right, is that you use your paramilitary, fascist, alt-right, neo-Nazi forces to keep...
Vigilante.
To keep the more bourgeois people who believe in elections and law and order and don't believe in, bullets, but believe in ballots. It's a way to intimidate them and keep them in line.
Wow. That's a whole lot, and we'll go on, I'm sure. But so speaking of ballots, Dr. Bob, the Franklin County, where we reside, has new machines for the elections. Would you like to weigh in on their effectiveness? Because I'm curious.
Well, they're the state-of-the-art.
Seems to be good news.
ES&S machines. So the interesting thing is the new voting machines that were purchased by the Franklin County Board of Elections uses regular paper ballots.
Right.
which will be available for all. And the new voting machines are, in effect, they function like paper and pencil. That is, a person votes on such a machine, right? You put your ballot in.
Okay.
Put your ballot in. You press who you want.
Yeah.
After voting, the ballot is ejected back to you.
Right.
It's given back to you so you can look at it and to see that what you pushed electronically is actually marked on the ballot.
Okay.
And once you approve that, you then can insert that in a central tabulator that creates an image, a digital image of your ballot and has audit functions.
Do you see delays as a result of that, perhaps? I mean, maybe until we get used to it?
Well, there's always... No, I think it's fairly simple. But there's always a problem with... you got to make sure the software is downloaded or the firmware, or there's no... I mean, the problem is you've got an electronic situation. But you should be able to just vote on the regular paper ballots that can be counted in these tabulators.
Oh, okay.
As well.
Right. Oh, all right. Okay. I see.
So, I mean, but the beauty of this system is it's not push and pray. It's not faith-based voting. It's not a DRE, a direct recording electronics, where you push, it's stored in the machine, and you never get to see the paper to see if the paper actually matches what you pushed.
Right.
This one's going to give you the ballot back and let you look at it.
There you go. Your very own. Right. Well, I guess that's good news. There's lots of also election news around the country still. North Carolina, I'm not sure I've got a grasp exactly where that sits at this point.
Well, statistically, it tells us that somebody was tampering with the early votes, particularly the paper, the mail-in ballots.
Okay, right.
So... if you looked at the amount that were returned in certain districts, certain precincts, and wards, it's statistically impossible. The number is too low in certain Democratic areas. And we've seen this problem before. We saw it in Ohio in 2004, where black areas in Cleveland, there were four or five of them that were suddenly voting at 7%, right?
Right.
The turnout's at 50%, and suddenly this heavily black
7%,
7 and 11
7%
and 12.
Right.
So there was about half a dozen precincts where you knew they lost
something with
votes.
Pinky. Right.
Yeah, that everyone else is voting at 50%, so you're looking from 40 to 60 as a normal curve. Right, 2/3 of the population, and suddenly you've got all these areas that aren't voting, and that's what you had. You had missing absentee ballots.
Okay.
You had missing ballots. What do you mean? There's only 3.9% of them.
Right.
How does that make sense?
Right.
On average, there should be 15%, 20%, 25% of people are voting on paper, mail-ins, absentee, whatever the state.
Right.
Calls them.
Right. And the federal government's looking in on that.
Well, the U.S. Congress is very important. U.S. Congress, under the Constitution, has a right to seat its own members. It's in the Constitution.
Uh-huh.
So,
yeah.
First of all, the state of North Carolina refused to certify the election results in that congressional district.
Okay.
Which is very close. It was under 1,000 votes. They said, no, these numbers make no sense. It looks like somebody was tampering with the Democratic Party vote and the Democratic Party stronghold. So that was the question. And then the House of Representatives decided that they were going to look into it and they may not seat the winner, but that winner wasn't certified by the state of North Carolina either.
Okay.
And this is...
Oh, WGRN and WCRS and the other side of the news with Bob Fitrakis and Dan Dugan here.
And what are those numbers? 94.1?
Yes, indeed. 92.7, 98.3 for CRS. So tune in, and you might learn something. I know I do just about every week. So let's just continue a little bit more with North Carolina, because also Pennsylvania has some issues, right? And Ohio.
Well, the Pennsylvania had issues left over from 2016, but the campaign, the recount campaign, and I was the general counsel for Jill Stein's recount of Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin.
Yes.
So in this situation, the state, there's been an agreement, and the state of Pennsylvania now, shockingly, Mr. Dugan, will put paper in their machines.
Correct.
Because 87% of their machines were push and pray, the faith-based voting, the DRE, the direct recording electronic, you're pushing, but there's no paper record you can recount that what you push was actually properly recorded.
Okay.
So there's been a settlement there.
Right. And that was settled, right.
And they should have, gone with this Franklin County Board of Election model, which seems...
seems like it's going to be done right.
Yeah, okay. Because it gives you the ballot back in hand to look at it and go...
Yeah.
As people in Texas were concerned, I voted straight Democrat, except for Ted Cruz shows up on my ballot.
Right. How's that possible?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you would get that back, and you'd go, no, I want to remark this.
No,
remove Ted Cruz. Remove the Cruz.
We wish.
Whole campaign. Refuse the Cruz.
Refuse the Cruz. Yes, indeed. But he hasn't been, and he'll be in there. But, it continues. So this election just continues. This fall election continues to hang around. And in the meantime, there's a lot of lame duck legislatures trying to establish new rules at the last minute to deprive the incoming, mostly Democratic Party.
Yeah, particularly in Wisconsin and Michigan, they want to on the way out to pass draconian laws that restricts, and some of them are like, a normal bill, you'd need a majority of the vote. They want to pass laws that, in order to pass a bill, it'll take 60 votes, a supermajority.
Yeah.
Which is, you find that in...
Change the rules.
Robert's Rules of Order, to cut off debate. It'll take 3/4, it'll take, or 2/3 of a vote.
Right.
Supermajorities. They're trying to impose, because the Democrats won and own the governorship, and in many cases now control the state houses, what they're trying to do is create super majorities so they can continue to have, the Republicans can have veto power.
Yeah, how convenient that would be for them. But the question is, well, these will be challenged, right, in court. Isn't that where we're headed?
Well, that's the incoming governor of Michigan has said they'll look at all options.
Okay.
So it will be interesting, I think. The broader question is whether there'll be some sort of active revolt, and I don't mean violent Donald Trump revolt. I mean people at the Capitol, people making noise, people engaged in nonviolent civil disobedience, people occupying the halls of the Michigan State House, where I used to work, my first major endeavor in politics.
Uh-huh.
Back in 1975, I was a Ford Foundation fellow a long time ago. After Watergate, there was a program that tried to hire college
Ford
students.
the auto company,
yes,
of course.
The auto company.
Right.
And I worked for the Senate Minority Leader, Robert Vanderlaan at the time, who was a Republican. But Mr. Dugan was a different Republican Party.
Yes,
it was
a different
kind
political
of
field, right?
More like the libertarians today. Small government.
Right. You can have an argument with them over a beer.
Oh, they prided themselves on facts.
In the hallways.
Yeah, there was that whole again, William F. Buckley, National Review, hi. We're not afraid of an intellectual, fact-based argument, as opposed to the new Republican Party of Donald Trump that just makes stuff up.
Right. Ignorant. How they feel.
Donald Trump personifies the notion to his followers that ignorance is a virtue, that you don't have to read, you don't have to know the facts. The old Republican Party was this notion was that you were entitled to argue your opinion, but you weren't entitled to make up facts.
There you go.
And the new Donald Trump, you know, whatever bizarre, not based in reality, no objective basis for it, I'm just making stuff up.
Sure.
That's the new Trump.
Right.
Where he takes ignorance, know nothing, and elevates it. And they worship at it. His followers, and they think, that's just how I think. He's thinking just like me. It's like, yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Non-intellectual, non-factual, non-objective.
Don't need these eggheads.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of worked real well prior to the Renaissance and Reformation. You know, it brought us 1,000 years of medieval feudalism.
Yes, of course it did. And we're almost out of it, that medieval feudalism. So in the meantime,
that's why they fought the Bible and the printed word.
There you go, Gutenberg. So as we move on here, the New Free Press has the top 10 most censored news stories of 2018. Would you care to run those down? Number 10 is the FBI racially profiling what they call black identity extremists. Not the white supremacists, but they're not looking after them. They're looking at the black identity. So I'm not even sure what the black identity
would be. Well, if you
be.
Think Black Lives Matter,
do what they intend.
They say you're black.
Yes.
And you believe in Black Lives Matter. So
sure.
The question is, you know,
it's a conglomeration of black nationalists, black supremacists, black separatists, it says.
And again, all I'm saying is
anti-police, anti-white.
How are they extremists? Well, they're, you know, I mean, that's what the FBI is going to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, they're not killing people at Charlottesville.
Right.
Those are,
again,
those are Donald Trump's, you know, people
right.
that he thinks are, you know, good people on both sides.
Yeah.
So I think it's a way for the FBI to, you know, support your local thugs. And again, you have different cultures and different police departments. Some of them see themselves, as I see them, as foot soldiers of the Constitution, who have, you know, sworn an oath to protect and serve. Others see themselves as thugs. And I have students, you know, I'm surprised. I'm in an American government class, and I got one of my students that thought I was perfectly acceptable for the police because a guy had a warrant out for him and had resisted arrest and hence had broke away, thus assaulting a police officer. When you break away and you don't allow him to tackle you, but he thought nothing wrong that half a dozen people that look like white supremacists who are undercover police officers
right.
pounded him and stomped him until his kidneys failed.
All right, that's
What is the role of the police?
Yeah,
but the FBI is, you know, kind of sending a message out there
profiling.
That just like, you know, they got it wrong during when they went after all the communists in the McCarthy era.
And so then we move on with the indigenous communities in the world helping win legal rights of nature. That could be an entire show. But number 8 is about Congress passing the intrusive data sharing law. So it's called CLOUD. This was passed, approved by Congress in February of 2018, clarifying lawful overseas use of data. So in other words, the U.S. government can acquire data without warrants.
Well, the you know, which it was bad enough
emails,
already.
Online chat,
AT&T, for Snapchat. Example, there were like 13, 14 million warrants at the FISA court, right?
Right.
The intelligence surveillance court, that's secret, where you have a secret attorney representing you and no one knows really what's going on. But in this case, you know, they already have been doing this. Right. This is like anything that goes overseas. But in the old days, if you ever emailed anyone overseas, that means you're potentially subject to a search. All this data is being kept
somewhere.
Anyway,
somewhere in the cloud.
What this allows the United States intelligence units to be the great, you know, surveillance spies on planet Earth, and it's a way to get into the European Union, which has a right to privacy. So we've always been the data laundering capital
of
the world, and this just makes
it
easier. Now you don't even have to go through the motions of getting a warrant.
Yeah, isn't that fun? So more power for those guys. Also, I really wanted to talk about number six, which is the Russian investigations sort of crowding out other news stories during the year. And some of that
is actually propaganda, right? Okay. But it's just being censored
for the media,
right? Why aren't they focusing more on the obvious Russian problem with Trump as a money launderer and his ties to the Russian mafia?
Right.
It's sort of that part of the story, which is easy enough. Just Google Trump and Russian money laundering.
Right.
And stuff about Azerbaijan. On the other hand, they'll bring up some Russian stuff and say, oh my God, you know, Putin's crazy. They'll use it. And again, Putin's incredibly rational. You're putting troops on his borders in the Baltic states. And we're not talking about that. That's being censored.
Sure.
So they're talking about, you know, these attempts to influence the election. But what about the world on the brink of war, because
Absolutely.
U.S. neocons, who Hillary Clinton was one of them, put troops in the Baltic states, in Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why aren't we focusing more on policy and less on these kind of personality attacks on Putin?
Well,
Putin's done a, you know.
He's easy to demonize.
Yes, he is. And, you know, and he's an authoritarian czar. In that tradition.
Uh-huh.
But not everything he does is irrational. Much of what we do by putting these NATO troops in Eastern Europe is what's irrational.
Fabulous. Jeez. Well, in the meantime, if you work for the Washington Post, you should not use social media to criticize their sponsors. That's a little tidbit that should be important.
So the free press, not for free speech, for its own employees,
mm-hmm.
right? They're going to go into the social media.
Okay. And as we go on, we realize that, of course, the world's richest 1% gets wealthier. And
well, Oxfam last year said 8 people now own more money than half of the people on planet Earth. And now you've got about 36 millionaires out of more than 7 billion people who have sucked up all this money and they'll never be able to spend it. But what they really want is the power that goes with that money. That's what politics is about. Take the money, turn it into power. Take the power, turn it into more money. But it's ultimately about power. And again, the last thing, it was an Eddie Fowle day, was it not, Mr. Dugan?
Say goodbye to Edward. He had run for judge on the Green Party. He was a good local attorney, an activist, a gay activist, and a great guy who's passed away. And we'd like to say goodbye to him. And so there you go. It's
been good knowing you, Eddie.
Other side of the news on WGRN. Thank you very much.
Rest in peace, Eddie Fowle.
Yep.
Thanks for listening to The Other Side of the News. This is Bob Fitrakis.
And Dan Dugan, WGRN 94.1 LPFM, The Green Renaissance.